I am here today at Rishon Messianic Bible College, and we are going to learn something new today. Collectively, it's very new, but I've taught many of the parts in different segments of different teachings we've had here. But Pastor Ben did email this information to you guys yesterday, and it's called Isaiah, the Mini Bible, okay? And there are some very important things as we are in the portion of Gematria in the Biblical Hebrew studies that you understand the book of Isaiah and the ramifications of this incredible book. Because Isaiah, the Mini Bible, just happens to have 66 chapters. And those 66 chapters are completely in union with the whole Bible. So from chapter 1 to chapter 66, you're going to be reading Genesis to Revelation as you're studying the book of Isaiah. You're going to go through the whole Bible as you do, and that's why it's called the Mini Bible. So when you get to the 40th book of the Bible, we know that the 40th book of the Bible is Matthew. Well, in Isaiah chapter 40, you're going to be reading Matthew. Okay, and in the next book, you're going to be rereading Mark, and then you're going to be reading Luke. And basically, it's just taking you. And then when you get to the 66th book of the Bible, you're going to be reading the book of Revelation. So that's how the book is set up. But now remember, words can lie, numbers can never lie. 1 + 1 = 2. No matter how I try to lie and get around it, you're going to look at me like I'm crazy if I come up with another number other than 2, because you know that it's impossible for numbers to lie. Okay? So that's what God did with the study today with Isaiah, the Mini Bible, okay? And then he declares who he is. And before I get too excited, because I love this study, I am going to pray us in. So are you ready?
Amen.
Are you ready? Oh, I was going to do the let me have my tallit. There it is right there, Pastor Ben. I'm sorry. Because I wanted to do the Shema prayer, and I wanted to wear my tallit. Because, you know, I'm part Jewish. My
father's
side. On my daddy's side. My real daddy. Not my earthly daddy. On my real daddy's side, I'm half Jewish. So I got his blood in me. I even got his mind. Amen. He gave me the mind of Christ. So I got everything. Were you guys here last night? Did you experience with us the miracle of a rebirth right in front of us on our Wednesday night Bible study, as Juke, who is going to be my new friend, he emailed me last night. Did you experience him accepting Jesus Christ as Lord and the love of Christ entering the room for him? And I'm going to call him. I'm going to give him my phone number and make sure that we're able to talk and really guide him and disciple him through this. I'm so happy for him, because it's always great to find out somebody else is going to heaven.
Amen.
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 All right. So here we are. And let's study the Shema prayer. I'm going to read the Shema prayer in English before I read it in Hebrew, because I want you to hear what it is saying, okay? And it says, "Hear, Israel, the Lord thy God, the Lord is one." Okay? "Then you will love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your strength. Let these words which I command you today, be upon your heart. Repeat them to your children. Speak of them when you sit in your house, when you walk on the way, when you lie down, when you rise up. bind them as a sign upon your arm, and let them be a frontlet between your eyes. Write them on the doorposts of your house and upon your gates. And this was the instruction when God said, this is how I want you to love me with all your heart. Wake up to me, go to sleep to me, write my scriptures in your home, put them on your door. Let me be the focus of your life. There's a scripture that says, when you seek after God with all your heart, then you will find him. Yes. Okay. And that's how we're supposed to seek after. This is not supposed to be a lukewarm relationship. Mm-hmm. This is supposed to be a very much on fire. You are the main focus in my life. And my wife loves that. And I'm sure God loves that. And so that's how God wants to be loved. So here we go. Let's pray the prayer in Hebrew now. Okay. Shema Yisrael, Adonai Eloheinu, Adonai Echad. Ve'chavata Adonai Elocha. Bekov levavacha. Uvko nefishka. Uvko mechoteka. Ve'hayu hadevarim ha'eli asher anoki mishvacha hayom al levavacha. Ve'shanatam levanecha. Ve'derbarta bam be'shifteka be'veteka uvleteka be'derek. Ushakbeka ukumeka ushatam laot al yadecha. Ve'hayu letutafot b'ayinayinecha. Uktaktam al mizuzot b'teka uvishereka. Be'shem Yeshua HaMashiach anachnu tefilim. Toda rabba lecha lehakol debarim b'chai shalanu. Okay, so thank you. Praise God. And let's get started. Amen. Hallelujah. Thank God for being in our lives. Achai shalanu. Take my tallit off. My son was asking me what the tallit was all about and the importance of Hebrew. I almost cried with joy. I was like, you're interested? You're 19 and you're finally getting it.
It was Paris.
Yeah, it was Paris, yeah.
Wow.
Okay, what do I want to show you in the book about the book of Isaiah? First of all, I want people to understand that what we all know as Hebrew students now, that God gave us 66 books on purpose. Mm-hmm. It wasn't a bunch of people saying we got to make sure the books get into the Bible right and which ones should be in and which ones not, because God said he controls the minds of men.
Yes.
Right? So while they're sitting there trying to figure out, should we put Matthew first or Mark first, or should we put Luke first, or should we put John first? And then God enters their mind and say, let's put Matthew first. And they all agree, we're geniuses. And it's like God's like in heaven going, I'm controlling their little bitty brains. Watch this. Put Mark next. Let's put Mark next. And God's just manipulating the whole system. The same way that in the Tanakh, he said, we're going to write the scriptures that the prophet Isaiah wrote. How many chapters should it be? And God puts in their brains 66. He put 66 books in their brain, and the New Testament hadn't been written yet. So God knew in his infinite wisdom that the whole book was going to be 66 books. Because remember, Isaiah's went in the Tanakh. So you got your 39 books, and you're like, okay, we got 39 books. And the 23rd book of our 39 books is Isaiah, and it's 66 chapters. Wow. And God, and you're like, well, they bring forth this book, and they decide, we've come up to canonize the books. We've left some books out, the Apocrypha and Deuteronomy. We've left those out. We've left out some other books. But these are the 66 books that we have decided upon. And God is like, yeah, you sure did. Okay. So God orchestrated the scriptures. Okay. I want you to know that, because we can trust in the scripture. That's why when people say, you know, the rapture and the 70th year, all this stuff is solid information because of who the author is.
Yeah.
Okay? And that's the most important thing. The author is incredible. Now, let's read here. If you have your this in front of you, or you can go to your Bible. In your Bible, I want to read the seven verses, okay? Because the book of Isaiah, called by some the Mount Rushmore of the biblical prophecies. And it's called, it says it shares a unique distinction with the book, okay, of Revelation, in that these two books alone contain seven verses. Listen what I'm saying. In Isaiah, you have three verses that God proclaims who he is. In the 66th book of the Bible, you have four verses that that God proclaims who he is. Okay. Why four in the New Testament? Because the person proclaiming it in four happens to be the guy who died in the 4,000th generation, who had them who could not be crucified until the fourth day, you know, who comes under the line of Judah, the fourth child born. So you got four scriptures. We're talking numbers here, okay? Because God wants you to know everything is being done numerically for a reason, so that you know the author is writing the Bible.
Yeah.
So Aleph, Bet, Gimel, delete the fourth letter of the Hebrew alphabet. And the fourth letter of the Hebrew alphabet is what? The door. Who opened the door? Jesus Christ. So now you have in the book of Revelation four proclamations of who he is. But you have in the Old Testament three proclamations of who he is. Okay? Altogether, you have seven, which is what? The number of God. Okay, so it's not seven times for no reason. God is showing you and imprinting on you that he is the one that is fulfilled the three from Isaiah with the four from Isaiah. I mean, from Revelation, to tell you this is God. Okay.
Yes.
Anybody who is Jewish, you've got to give them this and say, well, I know what they're going to say. We don't read the Brit Hadashah. It is not from God. And for them to deny the Brit Hadashah is to deny a very important scripture in their Bible that God said he would give them a new covenant.
Mm-hmm.
A new covenant, okay? And this new covenant is the Brit Hadashah, written in blood. It's a blood covenant between the Messiah of Israel and the whole world, that there's a new way of coming into relationship with God, and that's through faith in his son, Yeshua HaMashiach, who paid the redemption price on the cross. Praise God.
Amen.
So let's read. I'm going to read Isaiah 41, okay, verse 4. And it says, who hath wrought and done it, calling the generations from the beginning? I am the Lord, the first, and with the last, I am he. Okay? That's one. God says he's the first and the last. Isaiah 44, verse 6. Thus says the Lord, the King of Israel, and the Redeemer, the Lord of hosts. I am the first, and I am the last. Besides me, there is no God. Sma Israel Eloheinu Elohim Echad, right? He's one, okay? There's only one God, okay? And so he says, and there is no other God. Hearken unto me, Isaiah 48, verse 12. Hearken unto me. I'm going to turn this off before someone calls. Hearken unto me. This is the third proclamation from God. Hearken unto me, O Jacob and Israel, my called. I am he. I am the first. I am the last. That's God speaking again.
Yeah.
So those three times in the Tanakh, God declares that he is the first and the last. Revelation chapter 1, verse 11. I am Alpha and Omega, the first and the last. That's Jesus Christ declaring he's the first and the last. Remember, the Pharisees wanted to kill him because you, being a mere man, are making yourself to be God. And he says, yes, I am. Okay. And then in Revelation chapter 1, verse 17, it says, fear not, I am the first and the last. That's Jesus speaking to John. Revelation chapter 2, verse 8. These things says the first and the last, which was dead and is alive. So now he's saying, by the way, the guy who's the first and the last was dead, and now he's alive. So we only know, did the first and the last ever die? Because the first and the last is Isaiah. That's God. And there's no other God except for the first and the last, which is God. And now this Jesus, Yeshua, HaMashiach, this Jewish man says, oh, by the way, I'm the first and the last, and I was dead, but now I'm alive. Because we know he resurrected. They know he resurrected. There's records of him that he resurrected. Okay? So, the last one, the fourth one says in Revelation 22, verse 13, finish love. That's 22:13 in Hebrew means finish love. The finish love on the cross is 22:13. Because love is 13 in Hebrew, 22 is the cross and finished. Okay? So, 22 verse 13 says, I am the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end, the first and the last. And there's Jesus Christ proclaiming once again, I am the first and the last, the exact same first and the last that's in the book of Isaiah. Here's the seventh time I'm going to say it in my book, which has 66 books, according to my 22 letters, making 3 times 22, 66, so that I can present to you a Trinity. This is an honor, Pastor Ben. This is an honor to be able to teach God's word and to be able to teach it from the viewpoint of the author. Amen. Okay? Now, we want to explore why God would make Isaiah the 23rd book of the Bible. Okay? So, the 22nd letter of the Hebrew is what? Tav. Okay? What is the numerical value of the 22nd letter of the Bible? Okay? 400. Okay? Now, but it's the 23rd book. So we have 22, but we had one. One is the number Aleph. Okay? So basically, we're looking at, let's get over here and look at this when Pastor Ben has a chance. Okay. We're over here and we look at this. So we see that we have an Aleph, which is a one, and we have a Tav, which is the 22nd. So that's 23. Okay? That would be the 22 and the 1 with making up the 23. So God says, I'm going to make it the 23rd book of the Bible. The Aleph with the Tav together in gematria would equal 401. Okay? So God wants you to know that the 23rd book of the Bible is et, the first and the last. That's why he uses the 23rd book of the Bible to let you know, proclaim to you 3 times that he's the Aleph and the Tav. He's not the Alpha and the Omega.
Right.
Okay? But that's Greek. If you want to use Greek, that's okay. We got a gematria for that, 801. We'll study that again. But Jesus would say in Hebrew, I am the Aleph and the Tav. I am this alphabet all the way to this alphabet, and we haven't gone over that each alphabet represents the character of Jesus, of Yeshua HaMashiach. So now, we say, God says, well, who's going to be the prophet to prophesy in this 23rd book. And he say, well, his name will be Isaiah, okay? Ishayah, okay? Yahoo. And then it says, so let's do the numerical gematria for him. And then so you got the yod, the shin, the ayin, the yod, the hey, the vav, and then the numerical value of that is 401. Mm-hmm. So his name, the prophet is Isaiah, is the same numerical value as the Aleph and the Tav, the same numerical value for the books, okay? So God is letting you know, look, when he declares himself and he makes this book, now why is he calling this book, why would he declare the Aleph and the Tav in this book? Because this book is going to represent the whole of the story. It doesn't represent just the 39 of the Tanakh. It represents the 39 plus the 27 of the New Testament, so that God is letting you know, in the book of Isaiah, I'm going to have 66 books. Yeah, I need one marker. Any one of them would be fine. I'm going to have 66 books. I love this. Because he just goes, okay. So he says, I'm going to have 66 books, okay? So now he has 66 books. The word that is the gematria for 66 is Galgal, which means the wheel. So this is the completion of the whole wheel. So you go from Aleph all the way around and you come back to Tav, and it's the complete Bible, okay? So the 66 is Galgal, is the wheel. It's the completion of the circle is going to be where? In the 66 book is going to complete. And what's the 66 book to do? Please tell me, what does the 66 book of the scripture do? It gives you the book of Revelation, which is the completion of the Genesis story. Okay? So now in Genesis, you have two people that have sinned. They need redemption. Okay? They're kicked out of the garden. In the book of Revelation, you get they've been redeemed. They've been given back eternal life. And now they're in the new heaven and the new earth. And that's the book of Revelation at the 22nd chapter. So Revelation doesn't have 22 chapters in Revelation for no reason, right? It's the completion of the 22 letters of the Hebrew alphabet. And as Hebrew students, you need to know that God wrote the book, okay? You can trust the book. That means if the book says, if you live in righteousness and if you live in obedience, I will bless you, you can trust that. You can trust the book that says, seek ye first the kingdom of God, okay, and all other things will be added to you, okay? That means I don't have to run around this world chasing after things. If I seek Jesus first, he'll lead me to all the rest of that stuff. Amen. And I'll be complete.
Amen.
Wow. And I trust him. You know why? Hasn't been wrong once. A lot of men have been wrong, but the book has never been wrong. That's why I'm telling you. A friend of ours got a thing called Cloud Party T-shirts. So when he gets them, when he gets them, it says the Cloud Party. Do you have your pass? Are you? Because you have your garment on. Because if you don't have your garment on, you don't have your pass for the Cloud Party. So I can't wait, because I definitely want. I think that should be the trend of the whole Christian world. We should all be wearing, are you ready for the Cloud Party? Because we are preparing for this exit. So, getting back to this book, the book of Isaiah, okay, which is the 66 books where God proclaims that he is the first and the last, and the gematria of it all proclaims that he is God. Now, I want us to look at something. The book of Isaiah is Genesis 1, and I'm going through a study right now personally. Genesis 1, Genesis 2, Genesis is the first book, Exodus, Leviticus, it's all Isaiah 1, Isaiah 2, Isaiah 3, Isaiah 4, Isaiah 5 gives us Deuteronomy. It's incredible, okay? So, when we get to the 40th book of the Bible, and I'm not gonna read the 40th book of the, I'm gonna read Isaiah, which is the 40th book, to see if Matthew is there, okay? And I'm in Isaiah, and I'm at chapter 40, and I'm going to read. Now watch this. It says here, comfort, yes, comfort my people. Why would he say, in the previous 39, he's declaring the coming of the Messiah, your punishment, but now he's saying, in the 40th, comfort. I'm sending you comfort, okay? Comfort my people, says your God. Speak to Jerusalem and cry out to her that her warfare is ended. Or Zavah, which is their service, okay? Because he says that your service to me has ended, okay? That her iniquity is pardoned. Who's going to pardon it? Yeshua. For she has received from the Lord's hand double for all of her sins. So God is like, I'm going to comfort you. I'm going to forgive you. I'm going to receive you. And I'm going to make you mine. It's going to be what? Through a new covenant. Yeah. Okay? And your service is going to be over. Remember, Christ is begging for Israel to marry him. But they refuse because they want to hold on to their old marriage covenant. Okay? That's what Romans chapter 7 is all about. Hey, I got a new covenant for you, a new husband, because your husband died on the cross.
Yeah.
And once your husband dies on the cross, you're free to marry. Jesus says, now you're free to marry me. Because I know I'm new to you, because you have, your first covenant was a covenant of laws that you had to keep with a sacrificial system of animals. The covenant I'm giving you is a covenant of grace. And your sacrifices all come from only your lips. Nothing has to die because I'm going to be the last sacrifice. Amazing, right? So, in verse 3, it says, the voice of one crying in the wilderness, prepare the way of the Lord, make straight the desert a highway for our God. Okay, so that's in the 40th chapter in the third verse. Let's go to the 40th book of the Bible. Let's see, the 40th book of the Bible, as I count from Genesis, just happens to be Matthew. Okay, but now let's read chapter 3. And see if the 40th book is declaring the exact same thing. Okay. 40th book.
Isaiah.
Okay. Well, we read chapter 40, verse 3 in Isaiah. Now we're reading chapter 3. Okay.
In Isaiah?
No, in Matthew. Because Matthew is the 40th book of the Bible.
Chapter 3.
Yes. We read Isaiah chapter 40. We read that already. Okay, and in Isaiah chapter 40, in verse 3, it says, the voice of one crying in the wilderness, prepare the way of the Lord, make straight in the desert a highway for our God. In the 40th book of the Bible, which is Matthew, in chapter 3,
yeah.
It says this, verse 3.
Chapter 3, verse 3.
Uh-huh. For this is he who was spoken of by the prophet Isaiah.
Ooh.
The voice of one crying in the wilderness, prepare the way of the Lord, make his path straight. Now, so rather you read Matthew in chapter 40 of Isaiah, or you read Matthew in the 40th book of the Bible, you're going to get the same gospel. Make way for the coming king. Make way for him, because God is measuring out the books to make sure that you understand that all 66 books have an author. Okay? I'm just going to do a couple examples today. Amen. And I am doing a complete study. Maybe someday we'll have long, it would take hours. I have all these dreams in my head of teaching this long seminar, and I don't have time to do that. But in the 66th book of the Bible, Isaiah, it's all talking about one thing. He gave birth to a child. Okay, this is all. Behold, I will extend peace to the likes of the rivers. I'm trying to get to the part in Isaiah 66. Oh, here it is. Watch this. In Isaiah, okay? In Isaiah 66, starting at the 22nd verse, okay? At the 22nd verse, how many chapters does Revelation have? 22. What does it say in the 22nd book of the book of Revelation? What does it say in that last book? It declares to you a new heaven and a new earth. 66 books. We're in the book of Revelation now, but we're in Isaiah.
Ooh.
You understand? This is the confusing part. You're like, I'm reading Isaiah 66. Yeah, you're reading the book of Revelation. You're exactly right, but I'm just reading it in Isaiah. Listen to what it says in Isaiah verse 22.
Chapter 66, verse 22.
It says, for as the new heaven and the new earth, it says, for as the new heaven and the new earth, which I will make, shall remain before me, says the Lord, so shall your descendants and your name remain. And it shall come to pass that from one new moon to another, and from one Sabbath to another, all flesh shall come to worship before me, says the Lord. How is all flesh going to go and worship before God? He's talking about flesh. He's not talking about in heaven.
Right.
Okay? He's talking about that the... that at the end of this, that all we are all going to come and worship before him. Where is his kingdom going to be? Where is God going to rule from? From Israel, from Jerusalem. Okay? So he's going to rule from there. And he says, but at that time, it's going to be a new heaven and a new earth. Revelation chapter 22. Let's see.
Pastor, I have a question.
Yes.
From Robert Maples.
Yes.
Pastor Sandy, I have a question in all humility.
Mm-hmm.
If God purposely made 66 books, trust books like Enoch, Jasher, etc., since you have read from them before?
This is why. Okay. In the 21st book of the Bible, in Jude, Jude quotes Enoch.
Yes.
He quotes the book of Enoch. Nowhere in that chapter in Jude does God say, how dare you quote a book that is not of me? Okay? Jude qualifies Enoch as being a book you should read.
Yes.
Okay? Because he says, as the prophet spoke in the book of Enoch, he said, and he prophesied this end time prophecy. So Jude is the one that verifies. Now, Jasher, the book of Jasher, guess who prophesied? It's in the book of, it's in the Old Testament. I can't tell you exactly, but all of these books are mentioned in Scripture to let you know they existed, okay? So that therefore, when you pick up these books, you can say, okay, I can read this, But now you have to understand this. As I'm reading the book of Enoch, it has to agree with the 66. Why? Because the 66 is the base of my understanding. If the book of Enoch or the book of Jasher should contradict the word of God and say, like the book of Thomas, it says that Jesus wasn't born in Bethlehem. He was born before he got to Bethlehem under a palm tree. And when he was born, so then I could just take the book of Thomas, find a good fire, toss it in there, and let it burn, because you're contradicting the word of God. Excuse me. So that is the answer to your question. I'm going to read books that the Bible has already verified that they existed, and the prophets in my 66 books are quoting from those books.
Amen.
Okay? So, Revelation chapter 22.
Okay?
Yeah. Revelation chapter 22. And it says here in verse, I'm trying to, a new foundation, 12, oh my goodness. Okay, in 21 it says, now I saw a new heaven and a new earth, okay? So we know that the new heaven and the new earth in verse 21. And then, of course, 22 is the last. And he says, and behold, I am coming quickly. My reward is with me. Verse 12, to give to everyone according to his work. I am the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end, the first and the last. So the 66 book are completed in the book of Revelation from Isaiah. New heaven, new earth, Revelation, new heaven, new earth, okay, 40th book, make way for the Redeemer, 40th book of the Bible, make way for the Redeemer, coming from John. Mm-hmm. So you understand now, God is the one who is orchestrating the books.
Amen.
Okay, how much time we got, Pastor Dan?
15 minutes.
Now, as we read this, let me make sure that I don't have anything else. I want to say, I only got a few sentences with your names encoded in them. Hopefully when I get home, I'll see more on my email.
Yeah, you will.
But I'm very excited about you guys doing that project, because the author of your book didn't do that with one sentence. He did it with 66 books. You know what I mean? He did it with 403,000 words just in the Old Testament, okay? So if you now, and then he doesn't just do his name. He codes events that are going to happen. He codes dates of future events. He encodes the name of his son, Yeshua. He encodes how he's going to die. Yeah. In the book of Isaiah, there is an encoding of every name of every apostle at the cross.
Wow.
And it leaves out only one name. Guess what name?
Judas.
So, and it's encoded in the book of Isaiah. But, I mean, and you can listen to Chuck Missler even teach on this, and it's miraculous that God would make sure that encoded in his Bible, as Jesus is on the cross, he would encode in his Bible the names of every person, every apostle, and he even includes the two Marys, okay,
wow,
inside of that as well, the, all of these people that are going to be witnessing his death. And he leaves out the name Judas. And I say, wow, that's pretty incredible that God did this, encoding different names and stuff throughout numerical values in the scriptures.
Awesome.
Okay, so
that's God is awesome.
So what do we say? Someone outside of our time zone wrote our book. And how trustworthy is our book? All you have to do is live it and you'll see.
Amen.
Okay?
Amen.
So, as I now begin to show you something else that is an incredible part of the New Testament. Okay. This, I don't know how hard this will be to explain. First book of the Bible is what? Genesis. The second book of the Bible is what? Exodus. And then we keep going. Okay. The 18th of the Bible, the 18th book of the Bible is what? Job. Okay. Now, once I come to the 18th book of the Bible, that means I have to count 22 more books to come to the next 18th book of the Bible, which would be Matthew. So Matthew is an 18th book in our Bible. Okay. But the letters are numbers. What does the 18th letter of Hebrew mean? Righteousness, right? The 18th letter of the book of the lettering system is Tzadik, okay, or Tzadik, and it means righteousness, okay.
Yes.
So when you get to the 18th book, the author of the 18th book is going to use the word that is in line with the 18th letter.
Yes.
Do you understand that? Now, this is why in Matthew chapter 5, verse 6, you have, "Blessed are they which do hunger and thirst after righteousness," tzadik, "for they shall be filled." But in Luke, it says, "Blessed are ye that are hungry now, for you will be filled." Why did it leave out righteousness? Because Luke is not a 18th book, so it is not a tzadik
right.
book. Matthew is a tzadik book. So in verse 5 of Matthew, it says, "Blessed are they which are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven." But in Luke, it says, "Blessed are ye when men shall hate you, and when they shall separate you from their company, and shall reproach you, and cast out your name as evil for the Son of Man's sake." But there's nothing about righteousness. I'm going to need a glass of water, Pastor Ben. I think there's some cups back there. I'm getting too excited about these scriptures. I think the Holy Spirit is like, don't ventilate, don't hyperventilate you. Okay. Matthew chapter 6, verse 33. "But seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness." That's Matthew. "And all these things shall be added to you." But in Luke, it says the same thing. "But seek ye first the kingdom of God, and all these things shall be added to you." It leaves out the word righteous. Why? Because Luke is not an 18th book of the Bible. This means that it's important to the author of the book. Thank you, Pastor Ben. It's important to the author of the book that the letter coinciding with the number of the book, that the letter be used prevalently throughout the scripture, okay? So Matthew is a righteousness book. Why? Because it's an 18th book, and the 18th book of the 18th letter of the Hebrew alphabet is righteousness.
Yes.
Now, I have a list of scriptures that I could go down in Matthew that says righteousness, and it says the exact same thing in Luke, but it doesn't use the word righteousness. Okay? So now we go to the book of Luke, and we say, well, would God do the exact same thing in the book of Luke? Luke is a 19th book of the Bible, and the 19th letter of the Bible is what? Bavakasha. Resh. Hazer. That's where we get the word Hazer, because Resh is a word for friend. Okay? It is even in the biblical Hebrew, the word friend is not pronounced Hazer, but let me see, it's pronounced friend. Ra'ah. Okay, re'ah is the word for friend in biblical Hebrew. In modern Hebrew, it's chaver, okay? But it's ra'ah in the biblical Hebrew. So that means that the resh is a friend book, okay? So let's read. Let's see if we have any coinciding in here. And it says here in Matthew, there comes unto him a centurion seeking him and saying, Lord, my servant lieth at home sick of a palsy, grievously tormented. And Jesus said to him, I will come and heal him. And the centurion answered and said, Lord, I am not worthy that thou should come unto my roof, but speak the word, and my servant will be healed. Did you hear the name friend in that at all? Watch this. Same verse in Luke. Then Jesus went with them, and when he was now not far from the house, a centurion sent friends to him, okay, saying unto him, Lord, trouble not thyself, I am not worthy that thou should enter under my roof. Wherefore, neither thought I myself was worthy that you should come unto me. But say in the word, and my servant will be healed. But it takes the time to make sure it uses the word ra'ah, friend, coinciding with the letter of that book, which is a 19th book of the Bible. Okay? So, God is writing each book, Aleph, Bet, Gamel, Dalit, He, Vav, Zion, Het, Tesh, Ra. He's writing every letter. Every book is lined up with the title of the letter, and the main course of that book is going to be in line with that letter. Okay? Why am I showing you this? I mean, God showed me this to let me know that his book has an author, and that the author is very meticulous in numerical values, in letter definitions, in numerical value of letter definitions. God is very... Now, I could go through Luke and do this all day. Here, watch this. Warning of hellfire in Luke chapter 12, verse 4. And I say unto you, my friends, be not afraid of them that can kill the body and after have no more that they can do. But I will forewarn you whom ye shall fear. Fear him who after he has killed has power to cast into hell, and I say unto you, fear him. So it starts off by saying what? And I say unto you, my friends, be not afraid. In Matthew it says, and fear not them which kill the body, but are not able to kill the soul, but rather fear him who is able to destroy both the soul and the body in hell. Same thing, same scripture, but we know that Matthew is not a friend book. It's a tzaddik book. It's right. A righteousness book.
Right.
But we know this is a friend, so it starts off saying, And I say unto you, my friends, so every book is lined up with the 22 letters, okay? We don't have 66 books by accident. We have 66 books by design.
Yeah.
And the design is in accordance to the Hebrew letters. And that's the thing. Did you have, someone have a question?
Yes, I have a couple of questions.
Okay.
First one is, she wants to, so no need to try to keep Torah, correct?
To try to keep Torah? It is your privilege to try to keep Torah. Now, and I don't mean keep the law. What I mean is the seven feasts that belong to God are his feasts. You belong to Jesus. The feasts belong to Jesus. If you want to keep Sabbath, you are able to keep Sabbath. Remember, a pagan can't keep Sabbath. It is an abomination. If you want to keep Sabbath, you can keep Sabbath. But remember that the Sabbath was given to the Jewish people as a commandment from generation to generation, okay? But if you want to keep, you say, you know, I want to celebrate Rosh Hashanah this year the way the Jewish people celebrate Rosh Hashanah. I don't want to do a Happy New Year. I want to celebrate Rosh Hashanah, okay? You, as a born-again, blood-adopted child of God, have the right to celebrate Rosh Hashanah. You can celebrate Passover instead of celebrating Easter. Mm-hmm. I don't think that any Christians should be celebrating completely pagan holidays that Satan has given them. Now, there's two holidays that Satan robbed from God, okay? And that's Thanksgiving and Christmas, okay? The Festival of Lights, okay? The Festival of Dedication, which we give gifts, and it's the Festival of Life. That's the Feast of Dedication. That's Hanukkah. Satan stole that and tried to corrupt it, but in you have to understand the conception of a child is the beginning of life, and the conception of Yeshua HaMashiach is December 25th, conception. And that's according to I forget the name of that, but the Star of David, Bethlehem, video that he did the thing, and he says the star appeared on December 25th. Well, let's count 9 months later, and you got tabernacles, and there Yeshua is born, right? So it falls in line with Scripture, because Luke tells you, the book of Luke tells you that Jesus was born during the Feast of Tabernacle, and he tabernacled amongst us, right? So, but you are not, I want to make this clear. Your righteousness is not based on the fact that you keep the Sabbath. Your righteousness is not based on the fact that you keep the feast days. Those are privileges that you receive when you accept Jesus Christ. Okay? Colossians chapter 2, verse 16 says, let no man judge you in new moon festivals, in all of these things. And he says, or in the keeping of a Sabbath. Because he says, these are only a precursor to the true Sabbath, which is Yeshua. Okay, so Jesus frees us from, you got to keep the moon days, the festivals, and all of these things. You don't have to, we can. That's the beauty of it. I love to keep Hanukkah. I love to keep Passover instead of Easter. I have abandoned Easter.
Amen.
I keep Passover now. And the pastors in this community, like, didn't want to speak to me because I refused to keep Easter, right? So I'm just saying it is our privilege. The Torah is our privilege. It is not our key to righteousness. Okay, Yeshua HaMashiach, through faith in his name, gives us righteousness. Okay, but if you follow God's feast days, know what you're going to do? You're going to learn some things about God. And you're going to learn why he said, keep them this way. Because you're going to learn things about God. So don't let people lock us into, if you're not a a Torah observant, born again Christian, and you don't observe Torah and all of the festivals and the Sabbath and all of these things, then you can't be saved. That is a can't be saved lie, because you got saved when you accept Yeshua HaMashiach as your Lord and Savior, and he put his spirit inside of you, okay? Mm-hmm. Now you are walking out your salvation, and you can keep as many feast days as you want, but the ones that offend God, I say don't keep them.
Amen.
Easter offends God, okay? Easter offends God. Thanksgiving does not offend God. It's the day that family come together and we say thanksgiving to God for all the things. It's the end of the harvest. It's actually tabernacles in the Jewish festivals. It's actually just tabernacles. Right. It's the end of the harvest season where we give thanks to God and we celebrate.
Right.
Okay. Halloween should not be on our list.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm saying we want to be observant of what offends God and what does not offend God when we're celebrating these festivals.
The last one, Pastor Sandy, Hill the Page.
Yes.
Pastor Sandy said Matthew was 18 and Luke 19. Wouldn't Mark be 19?
Let me see. Yeah, because, nope. Yeah, you're right. Luke is 20th. I'm sorry. Thank you for correcting me, Hilda. I appreciate that. Luke is the 20th, because I was talking about the letter Resh. Resh is the 20th. Thank you. You're a good student, Hilda. That is excellent. You know, people, they come on and they type in, hey, you were wrong about this. And I was like, why didn't you correct me when I was doing it? You think I made the mistake on purpose? No. I'm saying that, okay, Matthew is the 17th. And yes, Luke is a 20th book.
Sandra said, what about Christmas?
Huh?
She said, do we celebrate Christmas, Sandra?
I absolutely love Christmas. And know why I love Christmas? It's the Festival of Lights.
Mm-hmm.
And this is why it's the Festival of Life, of giving of gifts, okay? So Jesus, the light of the world, comes into the world. This is a stolen holiday, okay?
Right.
This is Hanukkah. But Satan wants to capitalize on it.
Mm-hmm.
This is the Festival of Lights. Why? Because the light of the world was conceived on December 25th. Not born.
Right.
He was conceived on December 25th. Now, he's not only the light of the world, it's the greatest gift ever given to man.
Mm-hmm.
So it's a time of gift giving. So Hanukkah becomes a time of gift giving. It's a time of rededication. You can rededicate your life to God at Christmas time and say, I'm now, because you're the light and you're and you've come into the world and you're the greatest gift, I want to rededicate. So the temple was rededicated back to God on this 25th of Hanukkah, right? Or 25th of Kislev. So Satan is just, this is a time that I can exploit people and say they all have to give gifts, and I'll have them all broke, and they'll go out and buy gifts, and everybody will run up their credit, right? He uses it, but we have to see the biblical terms inside of it, okay? I read a thing about Saint Nicholas, okay? And the problem with him was he got kicked out of the Catholic Church. Do you know why he was kicked out of the Catholic Church? Because he started preaching Trinity was true. So they kicked him out of the Catholic Church, okay? And his thing was he used to give gifts to the poor. And the king disallowed him from continuing that gift-giving process. So they made that figure of a person who was saying that the Trinity is real and we should give to the poor. They made him into a God figure that knows when you're sleeping and he knows when you're awake. So I'm saying it's a stolen,
right.
But as Christians, we know, okay, we know it's stolen, but we know the truth of Christmas is the greatest gift ever given to man, which is the light of world. The feast, the festival of lights is what Hanukkah is called, okay?
The last question, Pastor, and then we're done.
Yes.
Is it okay to have a Christmas tree?
I don't like Christmas trees. And I would be a liar if I don't say, because my wife says, well, I like them, and unless you can prove to me biblically. So I showed her a scripture in Jeremiah that says they took these trees out, and they brought them into their home, and they decorated them with gold and silver, and then they bowed down and worshiped the tree.
Mm-hmm.
My wife says, We have never bowed down and worship a tree. We decorate that tree with lights and we put gifts under it. That's all we do. And I said, you win that argument because you know what? Christians don't bow down to trees. If we have one and we decorate it, we put gifts under it because God gave us his gift, which was Jesus Christ, and we put it with light because Jesus is the light, and then we put the gifts under the tree. Okay, fine. As long as we don't find any kids in the house going, oh, mighty tree. And that's what the pagans did. They brought it in, they decorated it, and then they bowed down and worshiped it and said, you are our God. And that we don't do, okay? So don't let the world, listen, don't let the world or overly zealous Christian people stop you from enjoying life, okay? But be educated on what you're doing and make sure that Christ is the center of it. Praise God. Amen. Now, can we exit out of here with a wonderful prayer?
Yes, sir.
All right. I love all of you guys. As you can see, I'm more excited about the class than you are. So this is my privilege and my prayer to God that I would be able to teach all that he has given me over the, 16 years? How long we've been here?
16 years.
Yep, 16 years that we've been here. Okay. So let's pray out. Bless my people and say to them, Pastor Sandy, well, he said it to Moses, say to them, the Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious unto you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace. Yivarekha Adonai veYishmarekha. Yair Adonai panavilecha vechunecha. Yasei Adonai panavilecha veYasem lekai shalom. Leitriot beShavu Chaba hakol havarim. All right, we are done. Yeah, oh, Merry Christmas with Christ in it. Hallelujah.